without further ado, I am joined in studio right now with Peter Goldstein of Hippocrates Docs, or Hippocrates Docs. My goodness, I know how to say that, and I knew I was going to misread it. Peter, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Megan, and hello, everybody.
Yeah. So you are working on a pilot program called My Health, My Priority.
Correct.
It's a 12-week program.
Yes.
Absolutely. Starts June 4th.
Yes.
And that is designed to help folks transition to a plant-based lifestyle.
Absolutely. And we have a 12-week program set up where every week we have a different theme, a different topic, and every participant gets a chance to select and set a goal of a new lifestyle habit they want to take on. And then the group is there as their team to support them to success.
That's so great. I find that in my own life, I always joke I got into journalism because if I don't have a deadline, it's not happening. If I don't have accountability, a support group, it's like, hey, you know that other thing that you've got on the back burner? How's that going?
Absolutely. And this is really important, and we're calling it My Health, My Priority, because we do want people to set it a priority and make the effort and then enjoy the amazing outcomes they'll have.
Sure, sure. So why the emphasis on a plant-based diet? I mean, as a vegetarian myself, I'm clearly biased and in favor of this, but why was that kind of the centerpiece of this?
Well, there's several reasons. And first of all, it's because it's scientific, medically evidence-based, proven. For decades now, there's doctors and there's tens of thousands of studies that show that it's plant-based, and it's not just about plant-based, it's about processed foods, so avoiding processed foods, eating foods at their most natural state, and also limiting the oil, salt, and sugar that we add to the food, and getting a great variety. So it is plant-based, but everything is research-based. There's no other diet or lifestyle that has anywhere near the kinds of research this has. And it's just amazing. It goes back to lab research where Dr. Campbell, for example, a PhD researcher at Cornell, probably 20, 30 years ago now, he was doing research on cancer cells. And he found that cancer cells grew from animal protein and they died from plant protein. So it's research like that that brings us to being plant-based. And other than health, there's two other very big reasons for being plant-based. And one is animal rights, and the other one is the planet, the health of the planet. So, for example, it takes 2,000 gallons of water to get 1 pound of hamburger meat.
Wow.
They've deforested most of the Amazon to have pasture land for cows. We've lost an amazing treasure on this earth because of it. So it's for health, it's for animal rights. The average American takes 100 animal lives a year to feed themselves, 100 animals. So it's three very important reasons. But first of all, I come at it for our health. And it's just crazy how terrible our health is because of the processed foods and the animal proteins that we eat.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and I feel like in this country in particular, you really do have entire swaths of the country that culturally they're a meat and potato kind of person. And, you know, growing up from the Midwest, so I think I'm allowed to say that. You know, I remember when I went vegetarian, I was a vegetarian for 9 years. Wow. Before my mother finally really accepted it. Every year for almost a decade, I'd come home for Christmas and she'd just roll her eyes and be like, does this mean you're still not having my standing rib roast? Right. I just think you should be a social meat eater.
Like, right.
There was a stigma about it in particular areas of the country.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of social pressure. And that's actually one of the topics that we cover in our 12-week program is how to deal with those kinds of pressures. Because usually there's family members, lots of family members that just don't get it. I experience that all the time. And developing strategies for dealing with that, for not being offended, for not being adversarial, for being able to get along, for how to eat healthy and yet not be offensive or be offended by people. That is one of our topics. We have four different segments, and the first one is about mindfulness, and that topic is part of our mindfulness 3 weeks.
Sure, sure. And I like this concept of food as medicine. You know, one of the things, it's a comparison I heard recently at a totally different topic-focused convention, but it really stuck with me. This presenter said, you know, what did we call organic non-GMO food before it was organic non-GMO food? And the answer, of course, is just food.
Food, yeah, right. Exactly.
And she was talking about this need to sort of rebrand and getting back to the heart of what is food. And yeah. How did we get into this place where it costs $6 for a spinach salad, but you can go through the drive-thru at Wendy's and get a 99-cent hamburger? And I honestly don't know the history of that. I don't know how we got to this place.
Yeah. And I don't know the history either, but it evolved. And, you know, the businesses like McDonald's, and they're there to make money, and they believe that the demand, it's really about consumer demand. The mm-hmm. demand was for cheap food. So they made more cheap food and they got more competitive and better at it. And they processed it more and they figured out more ways of cutting corners and more chemicals to add and less real nutrients to have in there. And that's what processed food is. It's engineered in a way that takes away the nutrition and adds the chemicals.
Well, and of course, in the long run, it's not really that cheap, is it, when you're facing diabetes and heart disease and all these things you have to manage after the fact?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, that brings up a point that Dr. Ornish, one of the leaders in this movement, he's recently released a book called Undo It. And in the book, he actually quotes that we could save 86% of our $3.2 trillion a year healthcare costs by changing lifestyle.
Wow.
So this is $3 trillion a year of money and pain and suffering that we can save simply by changing lifestyle. And that means we need to really re-educate ourselves to change our cultural norms and eat differently and exercise a little more and manage our stress a little better.
So how do you propose that we really do that? I mean, obviously, I'm assuming you address it in your course because, you know, when, like my father, for instance, right now is going through all kinds of mess with his blood pressure right now. And all of a sudden, it's really getting in front of his face. He's a type 2 diabetic, has been for years. Now, all of a sudden, he's experimenting with all these different drugs that have terrible side effects that are really sacrificing his quality of life. And now he's finally implementing some of those lifestyle changes because it's an emergency,
right,
in order to manage the pills and the pharmaceuticals that are being prescribed to him. But for 30 years leading up to that, you know, he knew what he was supposed to be doing, but that was just too much of a lifestyle change and he wasn't willing to do it. How do we combat that stubbornness of like, wait, no, if you treat food as medicine, as if a doctor was prescribing it, and this is just how you take your medicine, how do we get to that place culturally where we're, you know, prioritizing, for your word, our preventative health?
And that's exactly what it needs to be, is our priority, and to reevaluate our values and around food and lifestyle, and to really realize that, yeah, maybe a cheap hamburger today and every day, but in the long run, it's very painful and very costly. And, you know, and it's never too late. So for your dad, it's not too late. And, you know, we can show him how to reverse that rabbit hole of more and more meds, because with meds, traditionally, there is no turning back. Mm-hmm. The only path is more and more and more. There are no drugs in any of these diseases that will actually stop taking the drugs. But food will do that. And you know, these doctors have shown that diabetes, for instance, is absolutely reversible almost 100% of the time. And it's about food and getting a little exercise. And I'd love to have an opportunity to meet your dad and show him what it's really about.
Yeah, well, he'll be out in August, so may have to take you up on that. You know, I wanted to kind of circle back on this thing you were talking about, how, you know, pharmaceuticals, it really is sort of a life sentence, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, we talk about wanting to shift priorities for the consumer. Is there much discussion in the way of from the practitioner's perspective. You know, when you're a doctor and you're going through medical school and you're making these sacrifices monetarily, time, I mean, you're really investing your life.
Huge investment.
Yeah. And we talk about the Hippocratic Oath and doing no harm. And yet, you know, I was just listening on NPR. I think it was even yesterday. There seems to be this discussion of, here's this clinical perspective. And along the way through, I don't think anybody's fault, it's easy as a practitioner to lose sight of the humanity of your patient. Can you speak to that a little bit and how this reprioritization gets back to the human as a whole?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, that's an excellent point. And historically, what's happened, and this is just unbelievable, but doctors never had a single class on nutrition. They never saw the power of nutrition. And that's changing. It's changing a little bit and slowly. And the younger doctors, I spoke with a doctor who went to this conference, and he informally surveyed young doctors. And it turns out he estimated that maybe 15% of doctors are now getting something on nutrition.
And that's an improvement.
And that's a huge improvement. And, you know, locally, our local hero here and leader is Dr. Feinsinger, and he's just had a major impact on his school that he went to in Denver, medical school, and he's getting them to include nutrition as part of the curriculum for medical students. And those kinds of things are happening. They're happening slowly, but gathering momentum. So there's a lot of hope, and things are changing. But it's just unbelievable that nutrition was never part of the curriculum.
Wow. Do you think that can kind of come back to people who just are like, you know, there is a miracle in Western medicine, right? Like, I want my chemotherapy if I have cancer, right? But I do think, and at least I've witnessed in my own life, there are some people that as soon as you start to talk about food as medicine, a Western medicine practitioner just almost shuts down. They're like, oh no, that's that traditional Chinese medicine. That's, you know, American Indian culture. That's not quote unquote real medicine as I've learned it. Have you encountered that in your own practice?
Well, and I don't practice medicine. I'm not a doctor, so I don't have a practice.
Well, I'm just in your own life.
Yeah, in my life and in my work all the time. And, you know, we need to keep building this, but patients can actually tell their doctors and show their doctors and that they're having the outcomes. And, you know, I keep hearing stories where somebody says, well, I'm going to eat plant-based and change my diet. And the doctor says, well, most people just can't handle beans that well, so good luck. And because they're not educated, they don't understand it.
Oh, I can't tell you how many times people have looked at me and thought, oh, I just must not be getting any protein and I'm somehow suffering. I just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not the case.
It's absolutely not the case. You know, protein is one of these things that we're miseducated on, and we have these crazy beliefs about, because medically, there is no such thing as a protein deficient American. There is not. I mean, somebody has to be really bad shape medically on their deathbed or whatever to be protein deficient.
Wow.
And it's interesting because what doesn't get the press and should is fiber. So only about a third of Americans consume enough fiber. And that's also a reason for being plant-based, because there's absolutely no fiber in animal products, and there's lots of fiber in all the plant-based foods.
So for listeners right now who are thinking, yeah, fiber, sure. I remember hearing about it in like, you know, grade school food pyramid kind of stuff. What is the importance of fiber?
Well, fiber, gosh, there's in our digestive system, you know, and again, I'm not a doctor, and mm-hmm. there's lots of research, and I can show you that. But fiber, I mean, among other things, going through our digestive system, the fiber keeps things moving, and it, you know, and that's really important. For instance, in colorectal cancer, I mean, mm-hmm. that's totally avoidable with food, and fiber is a big part of it.
Sure. Yeah. Unhappy belly, unhappy life, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
So just in terms of some housekeeping stuff, if somebody wanted to learn more, you were telling me off air that it's not completely sold out. There are a couple of seats left available for this 12-week program.
Yes.
Okay.
And the easiest thing to do is to give me a call.
Okay.
And my number is 216-956-7182. Otherwise, our website is HippocratesDocs.com. And we have lots of great information on there. Actually, what we just completed was a 30-week series where we asked 30 different doctors to tell us what's the one thing they would have people change or a new habit they would have people take on to stay healthy and reverse chronic disease. So we compiled these videos, 5-minute videos, on a different challenge each week from different doctors. And it included doctors from Israel and Canada and all across the country. Wow. And family physicians and emergency room physicians. And we have a cardiovascular surgeon who tells his patients to change how they eat so they don't have to come under the knife. And a radiologist who's treating cancer patients and trying to tell them how to stay healthy and get healthy with food along with the radiation.
Well, so I want to ask one last question. I know I got to wrap up here in a couple of minutes with you, but you've mentioned now that you're not a doctor. How did you get into this?
Well, I got into this because, my ex-wife actually was studying nutrition, and I wanted to find a way to help her build a coaching practice. And then I started seeing this information, and I met Greg Feinsinger, Dr. Feinsinger, and I've seen the amazing outcomes he got with his patients with food. And so that just got me more and more enthusiastic. And, you know, for me personally, my bachelor's degree was in sociology. I've always been passionate about having a better world. And for me, this here is the biggest problem that we have that we can easily change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, making world peace is out of my reach. But to change health and be happier and healthier is within reach. So I'd like to help support people learning how to do it for themselves. And you know, again, it's a $3 trillion a year solution, and it's just changing what we eat and what we believe and understand about food.
And I do think it's interesting that you have a bachelor's in sociology, because I don't personally think you can really have a fully intelligent conversation about what we're talking about without acknowledging that people's socioeconomic backgrounds play a huge role into their diet and the information that they were brought up with.
Right.
And, you know, you go into areas of, you know, lesser privilege, and there's a Popeye's chicken or a McDonald's or whatever on every corner.
Yep.
Because not everybody has the option to think in terms of long-term health and savings.
Right.
That 99 cents versus that $6 makes a big difference.
Yes.
In the here and now.
Yes.
So I personally just want to commend you for making so much information available. I've been on your website, and your enthusiasm shines through. There is
Thank
a treasure you. Trove of information.
Thank
and
you.
It's free.
Yes, it is.
And so I appreciate that. And so your 12-week course starts on June 4th. It meets once a week on Tuesdays. You just talked through your weekly challenge via video, and people can go on to the Hippocrates Docs website to learn more and register.
Absolutely.
Great.
Yes, thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
And best of all, easiest is to just call me at 216-956-7182. And I look forward to hearing from you.
Great. Thank you so much for joining me today. This
Thank
has
you,
been
Megan.
Fascinating.